Well, you know, Jesus spoke in parables. He told stories. And the reason why he did it is so we could understand and understand better. And so I have a story to tell you. And the title of my story is A Tale of Three Dogs, Tripped but Not Tangled. And I prayed over that. Look at there. I really do like that Burmese mountain dog right there in the middle. But, you know, I prayed about that title. It came to me at 3:30 this morning. It did. Just woke up. That's my title. So you know what I did? I text Lacey at 3:30 this morning. Sorry, Lacey. And I told her my title. And then, after I had prayed a while, I went in there and turned on the TV. And do you know what was on? There was a television program on Hallmark that was called Walking the Dog. And I said, you know what? I'm right on track. I am right on track with the Lord. You know, he speaks in all kinds of ways. But this is a story of me walking my dog. And as I went out to walk my dog, I don't know if I was being walked or if she was being walked. But that dog was dragging me all over the yard. And then all of a sudden, as I took a step, she ran through my legs and then ran around me, and I was tripped up. I was tangled up because I could not move. And you know what? That is how sin does us. If we walk alongside it, think we know what we're doing, it has a way of tripping us up. And if we don't handle that trip properly, because we all get tripped up, then we become tangled up. And when we become tangled up, we become immobile and can't move and can't function and can't do what we're supposed to do. About 20 years ago, I preached one of my best friend's funerals. I love this guy. But he was self-destructive. You ever been around anybody like that? Just waiting for him to implode or explode? Well, that's how he lived his life. And it was a tough life. Now, he was born again. He did get born again. And he showed the fruit of the Spirit. You could be around him and knew this guy knew Jesus. But he still struggled in so many areas as he was being delivered, as he was walking out his salvation. And I remember preaching the funeral in Darlington. And I had been in that chapel so many times before, but I had never been in that chapel where every seat was filled. People were lined up around the room and standing out in the foyer. Do you know what they wanted to hear? They wanted to know what in the world I was going to say about this man. That's what they wanted to know. I ran into somebody about a month ago, and we were talking about my friend, and that guy I was talking to said, you know what, he died owing me money. I said, I don't doubt it. He was a work in progress. I am a work in progress. And but this is the scripture that I read at his funeral. And this is the scripture that the Lord brought back to me. It's in the Message version, and I just love it. And so many of us live what the Apostle Paul talked about in his letters to the believers in Rome when he wrote, it happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, I put this in there, bam, they take charge. You know what? My good self has been set up and mugged by my bad self. And I ask myself, Steve, are your actions and reactions predictable? Are they bad, aggressive, angry, negative? If not, that's great. If so, when was the last time you surprised yourself? When was the last time you surprised yourself? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 says, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." How many of you want to reap bountiful stuff? Yeah. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, we always think about that scripture being about money. Give a little bit of money. Give a lot of money. Do it happily as you squeeze that money and then let it go. Put a smile on your face and drop it in the plate. But you know what? It's a whole lot more about other things than just reaping and sowing money. That's a great thing. But sowing and reaping is a principal foundation in the kingdom of God. And we should be sowing good things so that we can reap good things. Now, most of the time, I'm pretty predictable in my reactions. I like to consider myself a businessman, but I don't want to be shrewd and mean, right? I don't want to. I try not to. I've been in meetings before and get the look like, "Calm down, man. Calm down," because, you know, I'm always on the edge. I'm just right there at the edge, live my life on the edge. I've been trying to work on it, trying to keep my pressure down, but just right there. And I've had the look like, cut it out. So yesterday, I'm going to let you in my private life. Yesterday, I surprised myself with my actions and my reactions. Me and Lori, I don't know, I think we have about just, I don't want to speak things over us, but for a moment I think we went insane. Being 50 years old and all our kids are not in the house, they've kind of moved out, even though they're there every day. But they're not there at night, you know, and we miss the racket and the noise. And the boys running at 50 miles an hour through our house nonstop. We decided we're going to get a puppy. Matter of fact, we decided we're going to get 3 dogs. I heard like, "Oh, Pastor." We've lost our mind there. But I found these beautiful dogs, and I just wanted them. And for Lori to be in agreement is like this huge deal. Yeah. And so these are not the typical kind of dogs that I'm used to. Now, I had a dog named Tuttles. He was a rescue lab, my best friend in the whole world. When he died, he took every secret I had to the grave. My best friend. You know, it hurts when we lose a pet. So I decided I'm pretty much done with pets for a while. But all of a sudden, we saw these little pups, and we said, "We're going to get us a puppy." These are not like Tuttles. Tuttles, I can turn him loose on the farm, and he can run and do his thing and hang out at the barn, jump on the back of the truck. We could ride around, go to the store, get a Coke, get him some nabs. These dogs are not like that at all. They got to be walked. You can't turn them loose. They got to stay on a leash. We call them lead lines on the farm because that's what we use for the horses. I don't have anything dainty for a little frou-frou dog. Tuttles, I could take him out in the backyard, squirt him off with a hose, and say, "Boy, you've had your bath for the year." These dogs got to be groomed every week. They got to be pet and pampered and fluffed. Beautiful. beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I had spoke to this couple. I actually rode up and picked up one of our pups, brought it home, and I saw the other one and said, "That is a beautiful dog. I love that dog." And she seemed so much more well-behaved than the one I'm taking with me. So the next day, the girl calls me and says, "Listen, you want her?" "Sure." "Yeah, I'll take her. I'll take her." "Well, she has a sister too. Do you want her?" "Sure, I'll take her too." Golly, bum. So she says, "Well," she says, "you know how much you're going to pay for the one. I'm going to put these other two in there. Make me an offer." See, now that's where the shrewdness comes in. I said, "Young lady, I'm going to knock your feet out from under you." I said, "You shouldn't do that, because I always feel like I'm in a guessing game of guessing. What do you want? You know, just tell me what you want. If I can't do it, I can't do it, you know." So I did. I knocked her feet, slammed out from under, and she said, "Absolutely not." I said, "Then what do you want?" You know, she told me, and I said, "Absolutely not." And so we agreed on a price, and I said, "I'll be there in the morning to pick my babies up." All right, so I get in the car. I'm driving down 95, headed to North Carolina. Come on, precious. I'm going to North Carolina to pick my babies up. And I get a phone call from this lady who is having an emotional breakdown. "I don't think you can take the chocolate one." I said, "Really?" And then this is what went through my mind, because all of a sudden, I was tripped. Because I grew up, you shake somebody's hand and you say it's a deal, it's done. If it costs you more, you suck it up. You know, you don't go back and say, "Oh no, it costs more, I got to add this to it." No, the deal was this. So that's how I grew up. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it through this conversation. But see, they already knew that I was a Christian because I've been in their house. I shared the Lord Jesus. I found out that they had triplets. No wonder they're getting rid of their puppies. They had triplets, and I took them a Jesus calling book with CDs so they could share the love of the Lord with their babies. And knowing when I stepped in that house, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, my getting to know them had nothing to do with a dog. It had to do with sharing Jesus with someone who doesn't get it shared with. And now I'm tripped. I'm tripped. And I had to start processing things. And the voice in my head started saying, "They can't do that." The voice in my ear was saying, "How dare they go back on their word? They cannot do that." When I started hearing that, I started feeling myself getting entangled and bound up. And this is how entanglement starts. First of all, it's pride steps in. And when pride steps in, it's a feeling of superiority, arrogance of demeanor. And it's the opposite of humility. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction. I was about to be destructive. I could feel it. I was about to be destructive. The second thing that comes into play is whenever that pride started rearing up and raising its old nasty head, I didn't ask God what he thought. It was prayerlessness in my truck. I started distancing distancing, I started stepping away from God. I started stepping away from God. So the prayer and the prayerlessness started dividing me away from God. And now I'm in a place by myself and I'm being selfish because it's all about me now. And then the voices in my head are speaking really loud and walking with me, and it's not the Holy Spirit. Because now I'm in control. And I'm going to tell you, I was about to make a mess of things. Now, do you know how long that lasted? All of that lasted about a second. It didn't take long for me to crush that because I realized it wasn't about the puppies. It was about Jesus. Sharing the love of Jesus with somebody who don't get to see it. So I put all of that away. Really, really fast. I ripped down that pride. I asked the Father to help me. And when I did that, you could feel the Holy Spirit embrace me. And then I was able to think rationally and make a good decision. And I remember telling the young lady on the phone, because she was in turmoil. Her spirit was in turmoil because she had a little girl that was crying over that little chocolate puppy. And she wanted to keep it. And she said, I just don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do. And I said this. I said, it doesn't matter what you do. I promise you that when we hang up this phone, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be upset because I'm not going to allow that in my life. I'm not. And I said, now listen, I'm talking to a girl that I don't believe knows Jesus, right? So I tell her, I said, do you know what I do when I have to make a difficult decision like this? The first thing I'm going to do is release you from any agreement that we made. It's all good. It's all good. But what I do whenever I'm in your situation is I find the peace of God. And that's what I go with. That's what I go with. The peace of God. It'll lead you. Let that peace of God rest on you. So when I hang up this phone, you do whatever you got to do to find you a quiet place and let peace rest on you. And you'll know what to do. You'll know what to do. And so, as our conversation went on and on and on, I realized that I did not want anything that God did not want for me. I don't. But I want everything that God has for me, no matter what. And what God has for me, nobody can keep it for themselves. Because God is the best delivery man there is. If He promised you something, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank because He's that good. And His delivery's on time. He's like the old post office used to be, through snow and rain. Remember the commercials? Yeah. Through snow and rain, we're going to get your mail to you. Now my mail's in four different mailboxes on my street. Justin's shaking his head. Yeah, it's like scattered all the way up the street, our mail. People's always say, I got your mail. Well, I got yours here. And we love our mail lady. We give her a Christmas present. We love her. We love her. So in our conversation with this young lady, and I'm driving down the road, and I wrote this down when I got home last night of the behavior, my behavior, because sometimes it can be a little gruff. But I realized that I was sowing goodness. I was genuinely being good. I wasn't being bad. I wasn't acting up. I wasn't taking my earrings out, as Lori Dean would say. I was being good. And then I wrote down under it that I was being kind. I was showing kindness, and I was sowing kindness. And it was a 2-hour drive of indecisiveness on their part, so I was being extremely patient. I never stopped going in the direction that I set out in. And you know, sometimes in life, the Lord will put us on a direction, but all of a sudden there'll be a little bit of a trip up, and you'll say, oh, I'm going to turn around and go back because I don't think we're supposed to go that way. Well, you know, in my conversation, I did slow down from like 80 to 55. I said, I don't think I need to be in a rush anymore. And thank God for it, because the Garmin lady said, take the next right. I said, well, we must be there. We ain't been on the road but 45 minutes, supposed to be 2-hour ride. We must be there. Take the next right. Through the country I went. And Grayson's my navigation guide. He says, looks like there's something going on up on 95. Whenever I got off, we drove about 5 minutes and went over the interstate. There was a 6-car pileup with 2 transfer trucks wrecked in it. God is so good to us. He is. So if he's give you a direction, even if there's a little trip up, even if there's a little bump, just slow down a little bit and keep right on going, okay? And then I realized that I was so in love, the love of God, the love of Jesus. I was sowing that, and I was sowing peace and peaceful. I was so at peace in my car, just at peace. And I stayed faithful to God, my commitment, and his principles. I stayed faithful. You know, the principles of God don't always work like the principles of man. They don't. Most of the time, they're very different. You know, we'll get mad at somebody. We'll get mad at our enemy, and he'll tell us to love him. You know, I remember sitting around a table about 2 years ago in a big meeting, and there was a lot at stake on this table. There was a lot at stake, and I didn't want to be there, but I was exhausted of fighting and fussing and all this stuff. And all these guys came in and sat around the table, bunch of lawyers. And, you know, my lawyer said, Steve, do you want to say anything? And they had told me to keep my mouth shut. You know, they had told me, don't say nothing. Just don't say nothing, man. You know. And he looked at me in the meeting. And one of the opposing lawyer, he was sitting across the table. And I genuinely loved this guy. You know, I'd worked with him for 5 years now. And I knew him. I knew his kids. You know. And I remember thinking, Lord, I don't know what to say in this situation. And this, I opened my mouth and this came out. And I said, I want to thank you, Mike, for being kind. I know you have a job to do, but you have done it so well and so kind, and you've been so gentle. And I really appreciate that. Now, sitting in that room, that man was the enemy. But I genuinely loved him. What should have been 3 hours took 12 hours. And I found out the next day why it took so long. Not only was my lawyer fighting for me and for Grayson, the other lawyer was fighting for me and for Grayson. And he was fighting harder than we were. And when it was all said and done, they said, why did you do that? Why did you put yourself at risk like that? He said, in my 30 years of being a lawyer and doing what I do, I have never sat in a room and anybody tell me thank you. Can I tell you something? If you will follow the Holy Spirit and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, even when it doesn't make sense to you, the Lord will work on your behalf greater than you can ever work on your behalf for yourself. He is that good. And he is that much for us. My tone in my voice and my attitude yesterday was gentle. Hey, kiddo, I've been there. You need peace. Go find it. It's all good. I never made anybody feel bad. It wasn't about that. I demonstrated self-control. I felt like, yeah, me and the Lord, we're in control. And I heard this the other day, and I love it. The only control that you really have in your life is over yourself. You can't control nothing else. You can't control the weather. It's going to be in the high 80s today and then in the 90s next week. Y'all, it's fall. It's fall. It's supposed to be cool. We can't control that. We can't control what our spouses do. We can't. My goodness, hard to control our kids. But you can control yourself. And I did every bit of that with great joy. I was so happy. I mean, it was like bubbling up inside of me because I was surprised myself. Riding down the road, I was surprised with myself. And I was full of joy. And then when I wrote, listen, when I wrote all those things down, it hit me that that is the fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated in a practical application. Because it's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You can read it when you get home. That the fruit of the Spirit needs to be alive and working in our lives. And my story ends just like it begins. Walking my dog. Walking my dog. You know, I know that's a simple way of putting it because life sometimes is more complicated than just walking a dog around the yard and it tripping you up. But the enemy wants to trip you up. He wants, and when he does that, you know, it makes you feel so bad. And then you beat yourself up and you push yourself down. And it's hard. And that's what he's really good at it, you know. He's really good at it. You can be in a place just, you got to make a decision. And you make it with a bad attitude. And then you feel bad that you did it. And then you have to go and apologize. And I'm going to tell you, it's easier just do it right. Because apologizing can be hard. Because you already got pride running loose in your life and it's already got its head puffed up. I remember this story, and it's a true story. Amber and Justin wanted to go buy a camper. You remember that story? Justin, you remember. You was there, son. My son and daughter wanted to go buy a camper. And they'd been looking and looking and looking. And then they found, but they only had so much money. And I mean, it was a very little bit of money to go buy a camper. But they were bound and determined that the Lord wanted them to have a camper. So they found one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Griffin was just a little bitty boy, about 2 or 3 years old. And they took their weapon with them. Drove all the way to Charlotte, wound up at this place like a rental place, storage building place, you know. And the camper was inside the lot. And they got out and the lady, she was asking much more than what they had. They didn't have about half of what she wanted. But they had Griffin. And that lady fell in love with that little boy. And she said, you know, this camper has brought me so much joy. I want him to experience the same joy camping that I did. So I'm going to sell you that camper for what you have. Bless you. Well, that's all good and well, right? Well, this car pulls up. This big truck pulls up. Big dually truck. Expensive truck. Probably had exactly what the lady wanted for her nice camper. Got out and said, that was our camper. We wanted that camper. And even talked to you about this camper. And she said, well, you know, they showed up with the money. And so they just bought it. That guy went ballistic. He went nuts and sped off. Amber and Justin got in their little truck and pulled their little camper back home. Parked it at the farm. A year later, this is the truth. A year later, Justin put a trailer hitch online for sale. And lo and behold, who pulled up in his yard but that big, black, expensive truck. Justin went, oh my Lord. Oh, this man. The last time I seen him, he was a very unhappy man. He was so angry. Do you know what that man had been praying for? For 1 year, he had been praying that God would lead him to Justin so he could repent, because the Holy Spirit had dealt with that man for a year. Because he got tripped up and then tangled up, and he'd done it wrong. But he knew how to make it right. And he listened to the Holy Spirit. If Justin would have wanted $10,000 for that hitch that day, that man would have paid it just so he would say, he could say, Justin, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I said that and I acted that way. Now that is a great thing. But it's so unnecessary if we do it the right way. I don't want to wait a year to tell somebody I'm sorry and live with that weight on my shoulder every day. I don't. You know what? God wants us to live the best life we can live, full of joy and not being tangled up. Can you say amen? Stand up with me. Stand up with me, you beautiful people. I just seen somebody look at their clock. Yes, we are out early. Whenever I prayed this morning in our little meeting, Scott Evans, who's doing the kids, he said, phew, I know I'm gonna get out of here a little bit early today with all these wild youngins. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You know what happened? Because of my gentle voice, my reaction to her, I brought my three dogs home. What are they? Okay. I got a golden doodle and two standard poodles. And they are 100% frou-frou. And honestly, I know, guys, we're like family. So at 3:30 this morning, I'm not used to that. Bark and get up, take me outside. Oh my goodness, I got up at 3:30 and I walked those dogs around my yard. I walked those sweet babies around my yard and put them back in their cage, and then I worked on my sermon and preached it to those dogs. You know, God is so good to us. God is so good to us. And I have an open door with that lady. I've already talked to her like twice, and I'm going to keep up with her over the years to come. I will keep up with her because God has placed her in our lives, and we'll be a blessing to her as she was to us. She found that peace to do what she needed to do with those triplet babies. You know, she was just overwhelmed, but it's hard to give up something you love, you know. But sometimes it's necessary for God to take you to the next place. So allow him to do that, okay? Well, it's been wonderful this morning, and I'm so glad you're here. And be here Wednesday night for our Bible study. It'll be held in Kids Church Room, so be here for that. And I want you to do the right thing this week. Make good decisions. Allow the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what to do, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart, and then follow that peace, because that's where it's at. It's in that peace. You can't mess up whenever you're following Jesus just like this. You can't. And I'm right on his heels. I'm right on his heels. I don't get it right all the time, but I got it right yesterday. Let me bless you before we leave. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, and I thank you for the lesson that I've learned in my life, and I hope, Lord, that it's a lesson that we all can learn from and take with us today. Again, I ask you to be with Carl and Brenda, Lord, and bring your peace and your comfort to them. And Lord, anyone else, Lord, who's hurting in this church, Father, I pray that you would strengthen them right now, Father, that you would heal their hearts, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord, for just being good for us. Lord, I thank you for giving Carol a truck. God, I just thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you that she recognized where it come from, Father. Lord, you are so good to us. Help us to recognize it and see it in our everyday life, Father. And we will be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.